This week on Android App Addicts, tons of free apps. Most of them are crap. Some of them are from sellouts. A couple of them even come from Mark. Episode 510. My name is Mark. Some people call me the Sultan of the Soapbox, and I am your host, flanked on either side by the people you're really here to see and hear from, the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the manager, Ardini. Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back. I was not here last week.
Neither was I. Door, did you do something last week?
I really wanted to. But I slept almost the whole week.
I ended up going camping last week is what happened. We tried to get a camping spot next to a ballpark, and because Friday was bobblehead day, my dad wanted a bobblehead from the ballpark. So we got the camping spot. We had to set up 3 days early, like a Tuesday. The game wasn't until Friday, so we had to pay a couple extra days. So I ended up taking Friday off and headed down to the camp spot Thursday night. Which I was leeching Wi-Fi off of the local McDonald's the entire time from our camping spot. So if you're ever in Clinton, Iowa, camping spot number 17's got great Wi-Fi. You just got.
I really hope you use the VPN, Eric.
For what,
Eric?
I wasn't doing anything.
I don't care anything.
It was No, I didn't. I mean, no more than my Android phone already has for a VPN. I didn't see no key at the top though. So that was it. Yeah. It's a very urban campground, nonstop, you know, drive-through view of the back drive-through lanes, and then train tracks in between us and the McDonald's with constant train traffic. Real peaceful.
I was going to say, it sounds fantastic.
No, it's good if you're going to go to the baseball game. I'll say that. It is a clean park.
So a sports ball activity. Mark, are you a fan of the sports ball?
I enjoy football and a little bit of hockey, but that's about it.
This is minor league baseball. It's all right.
Which minor? Because there's a lot of minor leagues.
I think it's double A, think single it's A,
triple A. Oh,
or no, that's good. No, it's not. It's not. It, maybe it's single A. It's not the that. It's not that when. It's not the one right below the majors. Whatever that is.
So, that's well, how big was the place? I mean, could hold at least like 1,000 people.
Right? Oh yeah, you know, it could hold a few thousand. Yeah, there was maybe 100 there though. The next night, which we were also camping for, they had a good crowd because they had a band after the game.
So wait. You're telling me during the game, that place was probably quieter than the place you were camping and sleeping.
Maybe. And I'm sure I could hear every bit of the game from where I was camping and sleeping, too. They were that close.
I just don't understand voluntarily leaving your house to sleep outside or in a trailer or anywhere other than your own bed. I don't understand.
I don't either, Mark. But dude, I'm married to a camper.
That's like the definition of a first world country thing. I mean, I'm sure anybody from a lot of other countries kind of thing come to the United States and say, you people like choose to sleep outside.
Exactly.
You know, there was people at work where I was trying to explain this to a couple weeks ago. No, we choose like to go down to save money when we go to Disney instead of staying in a hotel. We camp. And the guy literally said to me like 4 or 5 times, like outside? Yes, in the sun, you know, the sky, the moon. He was like, your country is very different.
My wife explains it to me this way, that she likes to experience and see other places up close for more than one day, I guess.
You don't need the camp to do that.
Well, you have to drive all the way back and forth.
But all you see is dirt. So you're just seeing the dirt, the world around.
Well, at this place, yeah, this place, there wasn't much to see. There was, I took the bike, so there were some bike trails that, you know, I would never have gone on had I not been camping there. Yeah, usually there's lakes and, you know, nature features that we don't have in our backyard. I mean, we live in a pretty wooded area here where I could camp in my backyard just fine. That's good for me, but it's not different. That's the thing.
See, I go out and sit on my deck and listen to the birds and watch the squirrels, and then I go inside where the air conditioning is to go to sleep.
We have air conditioning in the camper. You know, it's, the camper's plenty cold if you want it to be.
So, Mad, now, as my wife says, that's not camping, that's lamping. because you can't really choose whether or not you want luxury or camping, so you kind of go between.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the slide out. The, you know, it's lamping then. You know, it's not. No, we did pitch a tent once last year and then bought another camper.
There's a show title. We did pitch a tent once.
So how are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing all right, other than the fact that my employer feels that they own me now 24/7. Otherwise, I'm doing fine.
That look, I'm not trying to compete, but I'm just trying to distract you. I had to go to training this week involving SharePoint, and being not a fan of Microsoft or Cisco or Apple or most of those big companies, having to go to training involving SharePoint, which I call in a candor conversation something slightly different, besides just the name SharePoint, it is maybe the worst piece of software I've ever been forced to repetitively use for any length of time. Nothing about it seems complete. Nothing about it seems thorough. Nothing about it seems stable. Nothing about it seems competent. Yet it's coming out from a multi-whatever-dollar company. I don't know.
I can't divulge too much because, you know, corporate secrets and all that, but we're currently undergoing a process right now where we have to gather information securely from different people and send it to different other people in a particular format. And this process that we have has been vetted by committees on top of committees, and it's a ridiculous process. And somebody was training me on it today, and I was like, so what you're saying is we have a 53-step process to do a Google form? And yeah, that was basically the answer. You know, people need to fill in specific data in specific forms and send it securely. Yeah, Google form.
Microsoft Access.
Yeah, I'm going to quote somebody else at work who said, it's where you work. If you actually enjoyed it, we wouldn't call it work. We would call it fun. So just do it. I was like, I'm going to go back to my cube now.
they got a point, I guess.
Yeah, but still, you know, those are the kinds of processes that I would find some way to at least semi-automate for myself on my desktop, Mark.
Well, if I had the ability to install software on my desktop, no,
I don't care. I would literally hardware hack an Orange Pi Zero with a thumb drive in it that I would stick it into a computer. It would get recognized as a human interface device. It would work on any computer. And all I would do is macro record the keystrokes. I would figure out something because that would drive me absolutely batty.
Yeah.
My swingline stapler. Oh, is there anything new in the Googleverse or Androidverse or mobile phone market arena that you guys have found interesting?
I bought my wife a new smartwatch. The Huawei Watch. I don't know if we've talked about the Huawei Watch before.
I am interested in that. I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about it.
I don't have a lot of experience with it. It took me a lot longer than I had expected to upgrade it to Wear 2.0 because it's a couple years old watch, I think. I got it for $99 online, refurbished. It's nice looking watch. But yeah, it was a process to get all the updates into it. It took a while. My smartwatch doesn't have a speaker, so that was a good plus. And my wife was surprised that she was making a complete telephone call back and forth over the watch, where I never had done that on my smartwatch. The screen's beautiful. I thought it was going to be too thick and big for her wrist, but she hasn't complained yet, so that's good. And it's got the heart rate monitor on it. She wanted to get a new Fitbit, and I kind of steered her this way, because the Fitbit interface looked so janky, and just they tried to make a smartwatch looking interface, but it was just so ugly and so I moved her this way.
How's the battery on the Huawei?
I don't know yet. I would say it lasts a day. It's not one of those, you know, 3 or 4 day ones though.
Right. Yeah, none of the modern and nothing you could put Wear 2.0 on, as far as I know, would last more than 20 hours or so. But if you get that much, I mean, if you can get up in the morning and put it on and take it off when you go to bed at night, I consider that a win.
Yeah, I don't believe that's been an issue for her. I've never had a chance to play with Wear 2.0. My G Watch, I guess if I look on the XDA forums, there's some way to ADB into it to make it think it's a different kind of watch and then do it that way. I like my watch. I don't want to destroy it yet. But, you know, that's probably down the road. If I've messed around with hers enough to see that I like Wear 2.0. Which gotcha. I think I'm going to.
Mark, do you remember, I don't know, I guess in the 90s was when it first started happening. In the 80s, you would have the analog watch with the analog hands, but at the bottom it would have a little LED screen, basically, I believe LCD screen.
LCD, yeah.
Now, and there are a very few number of watches, maybe two or three. They're not easy to get, not like a watch you can walk into a Best Buy and get. Where on the very bottom, they have a very, very small screen. Supposedly with them, you can get 4+ days battery because the screen's only on when you touch it. The rest of the time, it's just a watch. But I've never heard anybody actually owning one of them and then saying whether or not they enjoyed it like that. I don't know. To me, as long as it gets a full day, I'm happy enough. The question is, the first day I forget it or the first day it runs out of battery, do I realize I don't care about it?
True. Yeah, because there will be weeks I go without a watch.
Yeah, ditto.
That is not me. I am OCD in a number of ways, and one of those is that I must have a timepiece on me at all times, and my phone just doesn't cut it. I need a watch. So I take my watch off the charger normally about 5:30 to 6 o'clock in the morning, and I put it back on the charger usually around 11:30 to midnight. And it lasts me that long. It's usually sucking down the last breath of battery as I do that. But that's good enough for me. And, I don't need one to last days. The only ones I know that last days have the LCD, like the Garmin sports watch that I've got a friend who's all haughty about the fact that his, lasts 10 days on a charge. Well, yeah, it's an 1983 style LCD display. Of course, that's going to last a long, long time. I really like my watch as an add-on, as an additional feature. It's a watch first. It's a notification, whatever second. I can't do phone calls on mine. I think pizza delivery or something. Some guy came to my door for whatever the other a while back and saw my watch and was really intrigued by it. He said he's an Apple Watch user. He doesn't like it. He's looking at that one and he said he really liked the way this one looked. And so we stood in the doorway for 3 or 4 minutes talking about it. And I was telling him all about it. And then I said, oh yeah, they haven't made these for about a year and a half now. Good luck trying to find one. Bye.
Now yours is a Motorola, right?
The second gen Motorola, yeah.
Yeah. To me, I think it stems from when I was younger, whenever I had a watch, I would break it within a week, either playing when I was younger or older, just walking through doorways. Apparently, I'm that cutting corners when I go around doorways and stuff to where I would always hit it and break it within like a week, 2 weeks at the most, it seemed like. So I was never really a watch guy.
Yeah, I shattered my first Moto 360 in just that manner. Just walking through the office, banged my wrist on a pillar, and shattered the glass.
That's one thing I've got to say with the LGG watch has bumped everything. And I don't know which Gorilla Glass they used in it. It still hasn't got a scratch on it. Where my phone has, I don't know, the newest Pixel 2 Gorilla Glass, whatever it is scratched up.
So I wonder about the watch market. Is that even going to be a thing in 2-3 years? Because there are a couple of companies making them. Fitbit is making the big push for them right now. Apple is sort of, they're still making them, but they're not pushing them. I wonder if we're going to look back on this in 20 years and look at them like CB radios. It was a fad for a while, and that was it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like the heart rate monitor and the step tracking, the activity monitoring.
Right, but those aren't smartwatches. Those are fitness trackers that tell time. It's not the same thing.
Well, the one she's got, you got a heart rate monitor on yours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Not very accurate.
No, I wouldn't know. I don't. I was impressed. I did use the fitness tracking yesterday, and I didn't unintentionally. My riding lawnmower wouldn't start, so I had to mow the entire yard by hand with the push mower, and I got 20,000 steps in. So now I know how big my yard is.
Okay. Well, I'll say I believe 24 or 27 different types of watches are on wearos.google.com. So, I mean, we can question how good watches are doing. If you go to wearos.google.com, scroll down most of the way the page, you'll see all the watches. And they're prominently displaying watches with what looks like minimal or no displays, which I'm guessing they're more just for like Google Fit type data and maybe beeping, buzzing notifications, but I don't see screens it looks like on all these.
I think the watches are going to be around for a while. There's so many cheap ones that you can get like on eBay and from China that seem to do a lot and have edge-to-edge displays. They're beautiful displays. I think there's a whole nice secondary market going on that we don't see. Kind of like the phones that Dora would rock, you know?
Well, I'm going to tell you guys right now, I'm going to, when this show's over, go through this set of watches, see if any of them look interesting, and I'll see if I can find one used. Because I haven't had a wear device now for 2.5 years.
These are high-end watches. Tag Heuer, Louis Vuitton, Fossil, Michael Kors.
There's also Casio, LG. So they have normal-ish ones too, I'll say.
Do look at some of those videos on YouTube, awesome, Dor, of yeah. Of the cheap 2018 watches. There's a flood of them coming in, of these weird brands, though, that seem to have every feature you could imagine.
Gotcha.
I will say, for style purposes, the Moto 360 with just a $12 steel band is just one of the most visually appealing watches. It just blew my white balance out of any of them still. I mean, even the ones that I'm looking on this website here, it's a visually stunning watch that unfortunately nobody cares to make anymore.
That does look like her Huawei's, that silver circle.
Yeah,
like
very similar. Too. All right. That was a fun little walk down watch lane. I'm bullish on smartwatches. I hope they continue to be a common thing. I hope they get better. But, you know, the millennials don't wear watches at all.
Well, they're doing better than tablets because they took tablets off of the official Android website. So
they put it back up.
They got that going for them.
That was a bug. They put it back up.
I don't think it was a bug. Oh, it does say tablets now.
Yeah. That was
NVIDIA Shield, Samsung, Sony.
That was a bug. They didn't mean to take it down.
Well, maybe it was a Freudian slip, maybe?
No, I don't think tablets are going anywhere. They're just not the general purpose computing devices that people wanted them to be. They're, special purpose, general, a lot of things for kids. But among the adults, they're the second or third or even fourth screen device. They're not the kind of thing that everybody wants.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the worst thing about a tablet to a company is when you buy one, you typically hold on to it for 2 years or maybe more until it breaks. It isn't like they go through them at any rate. So once you buy one, you're typically good. And I know people who, when the first iPads were coming out, even the second and third ones, whatever, would keep them for 4+ years without hesitation.
Yeah, I still have the first generation iPad. And if you know me, you know how ridiculous it is that I own an iPad. But I won it in a drawing. They came out in April 2010. I won this like in May 2010. People were standing in line to get these things, and I won it and went, I don't want an Apple device. I feel so dirty. But I brought it home and I played with, and it still works exactly as well today, 8 years later, as it did the day I brought it home, except that there are no apps in the world that run on it. Huh. Apple has made sure of that, because there's no way that nobody would want to get rid of their original iPad unless Apple forced it to be obsolete. And so several software updates ago, they just stopped supporting that device. And then as software needed more recent versions of the software, I can't find anything. My kids can't find anything. There's literally nothing that I can run on this thing other than the installed Safari web brower.
PWA?
I don't know what that is.
Progressive Web Apps. I don't know. That's the lingo that all the paid journos are using these days.
They probably don't work on Safari, and it won't let them install Chrome.
Well, and it's a shame when companies have to do that. But I'll say it like this, Mark. They shot themselves in the foot. As much as I don't like Apple, I have no problem saying, if they wouldn't have made such a quality piece of hardware in the beginning, that you wouldn't have had this problem.
Exactly. I mean, aluminum casing, Gorilla Glass front, battery that lasts dozens and dozens of hours. It's at that point, it was pretty limited. Doesn't have Bluetooth. Doesn't have the latest and greatest Wi-Fi. Was not a creation device at all. They've really worked more toward making them more laptop-like. But as a second, third, or fourth screen consumption device, they hit it out of the park the first time, and nobody's ever needed to buy another one. And that's the problem.
True.
Yeah, it is what it is. I'll say there is business sense to owning the entire stack of processor creation from scratch to implementation, and that's like a benefit of it right there.
Think about this. I've had this for 8 years through 3 children. It's been their primary device through 3 children, and it's not got a scratch. Well, it's got scratches on it, but there's nothing wrong with it.
That's good parenting, though. I mean, I've never owned an iPad, but I fixed a lot of broken iPads back when I had my shop.
Yeah, but I mean, you have to really work hard to destroy one of these things.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what people do in their houses. They destroy them pretty good. That.
Well, and they sell so many of them. I was trying to explain this to my oldest son. Just because you buy something from a company and it isn't great, every product line, everything that's manufactured will have lemons that occur. The question is, how frequently are they and how bad are they? Because granted, they should catch some of them, but you can't catch them all. Once in a while, you're going to get something from somebody and it just is not going to be up to spec. Doesn't mean they're all bad.
The YouTubers are calling me an Apple fanboy. You could not be farther from the truth.
It happens to hosts on the show. I mean, one of them had a white iPad for a while too, you know.
Oh, true, true.
But at the same time, and I'm intellectually honest enough to call a good product. And some of Apple's products are good products. I just don't like the company and the way they treat their customers.
Well, the Nexus 7 tablet's a great tablet too. But we don't need to talk about tablets too much.
Why not? They're Android-ish.
I've got both generations of that still, and I can install apps on them both. They may not be 8 years old though, but they're 2012.
So many of them broke.
6 years old.
They're nice. They had the good NVIDIA whatever core processor.
And they were cheap. They were like 1/4 the price of an iPad at the time.
Well, right. Everything's 1/4 the price of an iPad.
So I was telling the guys before the show, I had to buy a new laptop, and I use the phrase had to because I try to keep them forever. I am surrounded right now by vintage technology. There are two laptops to my right. The newest one is a 2010 model. I keep things forever. So when I say I had to buy a laptop, it's because I had to buy a new laptop. And I was telling somebody at work about it, and they said, so did you get an iBook? And I was like, why would you even ask me that question? You don't know me at all if you would even ask me that question. No, I would buy 4 HPs or, you know, 4 other things for the cost of 1 Apple. Even if they were worth the money, I don't like the way the Apple OS works. It just, I don't know why. I just don't like it. And I think maybe, actually, I started to say I don't know why, but I think maybe the reason why is I want to change stuff, and the entire Apple OS is designed to not let you change stuff. So like, as soon as I get it, it's like, oh, I want to move this over there. No, that's this goes over here. No, but I don't want it there. I want it over here. No, sorry, you have a Mac. So I have, over the years, I had a couple of extended test drives of Macs, and I just don't like the OS at all. Hardware, however, is phenomenal.
Agreed. Not for the tinkerer.
Right. All right. Enough about that.
Yeah.
I can talk about my laptop.
The chat room's wondering if they logged into iPad App Addicts. But we could be iPad App Addicts if they would let them install an app, but they won't. So
So I want to kick things off by talking about an app that I don't have a link for. I'm hoping Dor will quickly get it up there while I'm
yep.
He says that we've already talked about it. I didn't remember that. Maybe it was before me, or maybe I was napping. But it's called Be My Eyes, and I saw a Facebook post actually about it today. And I think it's this phenomenal application that you log into it and you say, I am blind or vision impaired, whatever it is, or I'm a volunteer, and that's it. And so if you are vision impaired and you go to your fridge and you're like, I think I need to check to see if the date on my milk is bad, but I can't read the date on my milk. You pull out your phone, you launch the app, and you say, I need help. And, you know, because it's a global community, there's pretty much somebody going to be awake in that whenever you are. If it's the middle of the night in the U.S., somebody in Australia, it's the middle of the day for them. So the system goes out and pings several users who are online. The first one to answer wins. You're connected immediately to a video stream, and the vision impaired person points their phone at the milk and says, what's the date on this? And you say, June 10th. You're a couple days over. And they say, thank you. And that's the end of the transaction. And I think it's such a simple idea of people helping people. And currently there are 82,000 and change blind users and 1.4 million volunteers ready to help them. So imagine how instant that would be. You know, they have a database of 1.4 million people to choose from. I have to imagine that it's, you know, just nearly instantaneous help anywhere, anytime. I love the idea behind the app and the app itself. I just signed up today. It may be weeks before anybody asks me for help. But from all the reviews, it seems to work really well. Be My Eyes.
So do you think the ping goes out to multiple people at once?
Yeah,
and then some people just say, oh, and you pick it up and like, oh, you're too late.
Well, it's like the first person to get to it wins, and then everybody else gets a yeah, you're too late. You don't need it. You're not needed now.
Okay.
Yeah, here's the only catch. While there is 1.2 and there is 77,000, as soon as you log in, the first thing you have to do is select what languages you understand.
Yes.
So there are people out in the world where I'm sure if they go to get a, you know, to ask for help, they might not be able to find somebody for help just because of the language barriers. So what I really want to encourage people is, especially if you don't know English, get on this app, make yourself available, because it's always going to be needed. No matter how big of a number there are, you know, they're always going to need more people, because Mark might be asleep. Mark might be in a meeting. I might be in training for SharePoint. But, you know, the more, the better, especially if you know any other languages.
So I downloaded this a couple of hours ago. And the first thing when you launch it, there's two columns there that tell you how many blind and how many volunteers. And there's 300 more blind people now than there were a couple of hours ago when I downloaded it. And almost 90,000 more volunteers now than when I downloaded it a couple of hours ago. So it is literally a growing community in every sense of the word.
It's got to be. There's nothing, I mean, other than it being spyware, I don't see anything bad that could happen, you know?
Yeah, guy in the tub says he remembers Dore talking about this. Yeah, Dore says we've already brought it. I don't remember it, but how could you not re-mention this? I mean, this is such an amazing opportunity. This is slacktivism at its best, right? I get to feel good for doing nothing.
Yeah. Yep. It's a virtuous item that doesn't leave you broke. It doesn't make you have to sweat too much.
One of their promotional videos said that a blind person called up a volunteer, and the volunteer like gave him a play-by-play of their kid's basketball game.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so good on the volunteer for having 3 hours to spare to do that, you know. But yeah, he's just sitting there, you know, number five gets the ball, you know, and he's just narrating the game. How cool is that?
What if you were wanting to be a basketball announcer, and this would be a great way to practice?
Exactly.
You know, if you could get one blind person to go to a game every week, you know, you would get more exposure and, you know, develop your craft. But yeah. I can't. This is a great app.
4.9 average reviews out of 7,400 reviews. Everybody has everything good to say about it. It says right now the ratio for English speakers is huge. I get that. And that's, you know, unfortunately, I don't speak Spanish well enough to do that. I do speak some Spanish, but not well enough to actually do something that counts, you know. But all of the reviews are incredibly positive. And I wonder if it's, you know, a lot of people like me who feel good about having installed it. So I'm going to leave a 5-star app because it makes me feel good. But it was developed by a vision impaired person who is losing his vision. So he developed it while he still had vision, so that when he loses it, he'll have an app available.
Wow!
All right, good, top that.
Good app. I don't know if I can. I'm sure, honestly. I'm looking at my tank right now, and I'm pretty sure I can't. But I'm gonna try at some point.
Dore, do you know when we brought it? What show number do you have that, Andy?
484.
484. So it wasn't that long ago. I wonder why I don't remember it.
Months ago, yeah. Is what I'll say.
How did I not install? I must not have been on that show, because I would have clicked install in seconds.
Okay. I also brought on 485, or at least it was brought back-to-back weeks I documented.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter. It's like when Mark said, have we already brought this app? I said, bring it again. There are apps out there that I do believe deserve multiple mentions. It's just, this is like working at the post office. The apps never stop coming. It's really hard for me to say, let's stop and go back and talk about this app from a couple weeks ago. So,
yeah,
you know, it's always good.
And there's a lot of apps that I bring, especially we should never bring back.
That is true. So, Eric, what is your first app this evening?
The first app that I'm going to bring that we should probably never bring back is called I'm Ping Pong King. It's not like one of those things where you hold your tongue and say it or say it three times fast or anything like that. This is an unreleased game by Orangino Studio. And basically it takes the ping pong game and turns it into a left-right button clicker. And it's a timing game. with little drawn people. And you actually get to play against the developer's grandma, like second or third round, and beat her. So it's pretty fun. It's a tough game, kind of. It's all timing and tapping left or right, though. You see where the ball's going. It's not going in the middle. It's going to go to the left or the right, and you tap your phone accordingly.
So no spin on the ball or anything like that?
Nope.
Just either hit it or didn't?
Nope. It's a minimalist ping pong game.
But now, well, yes, and so you do see the game going on your screen.
Yes, yes, you do see the game going on your screen.
Okay, this is reminiscent of a mini game in the Switch game, 1-2 Switch. That game, all you hear is the sounds, because you're supposed to be looking at your adversary. You're looking at them in their eyes, you hear the sound, and with your device, you swing. Now you can hold down one or two buttons to make it either a lob or a spike. The other person can't see what button you're holding, so when you hit the ball, they have to go by sound to tell what it is. That game is ridiculously hard, in my opinion. This similar concept, but looks much easier, but I can understand how it's still, you gotta have that timing.
Yeah, it lets you know, and it lets you know if you were too early or too late, or just hit the wrong left or right. It doesn't really, and the chat room was wondering how this app helps the blind. It really doesn't help the blind to play ping pong on minimalist
set a new
or
standard.
full court.
All questions from now on. Every app now must help the blind. Did you enjoy playing the game?
I did. It was fun. It's cute the way it's drawn. It's all like stick figures with big big circles for their bodies and heads. They move kind of funnily. It starts out really easy.
Is that one guy playing with a hot dog?
I didn't get to that level. That's you. If it's the bottom one. No, that's just his paddle in motion.
That's the motion blur.
Yeah.
It looks like a hot dog.
That is his red paddle in motion does have a...
Because, Eric, you've brought games in the past where it wouldn't surprise me if a guy was playing ping pong with a hot dog.
Right. It probably would have had that in the title, though.
Good point.
And I'll look for that for next week.
All right, Dor, what's your first offering of the night?
Okay, first app I'm going to say with at least modest confidence, if not full confidence, this is one absolutely, completely, utterly useless piece of crap app. Period.
Right.
Period, period, period. Do not listen to journalists. Do not listen to people who make a living off of telling you about stuff about this app. Because here is the really dealy, yo. What I want is something where I put in a URL from any place, and after the actual needed part of the URL, it deletes everything after it. We've all seen those long Amazon links or long links to whatever. 90% of those long links are not needed for the link to work. They're there to track you. They're there to or hijack affiliate commissions. There's a lot of Amazon links, for instance, out there. When you click through to that Amazon product, it does not tell you, but then your cookie is being set for, I believe, 60 or 90 days for you to take a percentage of any purchase you buy for the next whatever days, or until you hit the next link that does the similar thing, and take a percentage of your money and give it to that other party. I just want to make clear who I'm giving my money to. So I want an app that will get rid of everything after the URL. This app does not do that. The average link I put in might have 3 to 4 different pieces after the URL. Some of them are tags, some of them are references, some of them are things like that. This would only get rid of 25% to 50% at the absolute most, and it got rid of the ones that don't matter. What does it matter if my link is from google.com that I'm clicking? You know what I mean? Compared to a lot of other kinds of tracking things they can put in the URL. So this app doesn't get rid of it. And here's the reason why. If they put that kind of freedom-loving mechanic in this app, no journalist, nobody getting paid off of people getting tracked would ever support this app. In fact, they would probably talk bad about it. So it's really hard to make an app that actually does that. So this app only gets rid of a little bit of the back of the URL. It makes them much shorter. So use it if you like, but to me, it does little to nothing. And I'll say this. I still believe one of the most widely publicized security vulnerabilities in use today are URL shorteners, so don't suggest that as a fix for the messed up URLs, because that just makes the problem worse. So
you're
this app to me is complete crap. It's called Clean Share from Catching Now. It's tools. It's complete crap.
So if you use a URL shortener, you're just making a shorter version to a tagged link.
Well, that, and there's a security risk, because you as the end user don't know where that URL actually ends. It could be to a piece of malware. It could be for a phishing attack. It could be anything. And you as a user don't know. So I hate URL shorteners.
All right. So an app that doesn't do what it's supposed to do from Door.
Yeah.
And I'm irate because I've asked for this app off and on for well over a year. And then this comes out and I think it's it, and I download it and I test it two or three different ways and I see horrible results. I encourage you, if you want to, download it yourself. People, try it yourself. See if you see similar results. Maybe something weird in a configuration I have. I have no idea. But it didn't work, even close to work, for me. And it made me upset that other people were promoting it as a great app. Obviously, they can't take this simple time to do a simple 5-second test to understand what the app does. So they just say, oh, it's a great app. It shortens URLs. Yep. You just put it in. Yep. You get a short one. Yep.
And it's not hard to do that yourself. I question the mechanics of this. Is it like in the share menu? I mean, how does it even work? Do you still have to copy paste from one to the other?
No. What it is, it's a pass through. I've had a couple apps in the past that are pass through apps. You, on your app, you're in your browser, you hit the things, you hit share, you share it to Clean Share, and it immediately reprompts you to share it again.
Got it.
So then you share it to your end result.
And that sounds to me like more effort than just copy pasting and deleting what you don't want.
Well, it's a time save if it worked correctly. I use share ridiculously amounts, and I have and share still installed. So I can do combos of shares at a time. I abuse it. It was just an extra click, but in time, sometimes it was great, because sometimes those URLs are really long and you sit there and hold delete for, 10, 15 seconds. But yes, Mark, I can't say you're wrong.
Well, nobody ever can, because, I'm always right.
Well,
except when I'm not, and we just don't mention those.
And I'm anal about my Android workflow and my Linux workflow. So,
Guy in the tub says, not only does this not help blind people, it helps nobody, Door.
It helps just people downstairs who want to track you.
All right, Eric, ping pong, you're up.
Ping pong to Hawk Force of an Arcade Shooter Shoot 'em Up. That's the entire title.
Wow.
H-A-W-K. Just remember Hawk. If you like games with tons of bullets and flying things, I'm going to say Galactica-ish.
Yes.
This is for you. It's a really fun game. It's a bit difficult fairly quickly, but if you're a decent gamer, I think you'll find it a nice challenge. It's
Remember Zaxxon?
Huh? Zaxxon?
Remember Zaxxon? It was all about driving through a small area and just blowing stuff up. That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah, you're like a jet just flying around, nonstop firepower. Every now and then you'll get an add-on where you have extra firepower coming from the side. There's one bonus where it's just like the whole screen fills with missiles and blows up everything ahead of you. And then there's bosses at the end of the levels, some big kind of mega ship you have to, grind on for a while to destroy. It's a fun game.
Yeah. This is in the same category as like the bullet hell shooters, except it isn't bullet hell. It's like bullet limbo, because there's a good amount of bullets on the screen more than a couple times, but the bullet hell games go crazy with like 300 bullets on the screen at one time, all coming at you. But this does look well-paced, is the way I'll put it.
And cooperative multiplayer. That's cool.
I have not tried that. I did not even realize that.
Huh.
Team up with your battle brothers to overcome challenges, or join forces with random players for even more fun.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a fairly new game, updated May 22nd, 2018. Does have in-app purchases from $0.99 to $109.99. No idea what that could be. It's by my.com.bv.
And it doesn't say anything about ads, so that's a plus.
Well, reading through the reviews, they don't need ads because to actually enjoy the game, you have to buy stuff.
I didn't.
Every update makes it harder to progress. Crappy loot, low rewards, expensive to upgrade, playing costs, slow refilling iridium. Every bit of this game is tailored towards milking money from the player. Don't expect to get anything worth from the free box lottery. So, I mean, I find that the case in lots of games where you can enjoy it for an hour without paying. And then after that, if you want to level up, you got to pay or uninstall. And I generally choose uninstall at that point.
Yeah, there was something I was playing a game and it was basically time. The more time you spent, it just went away. It was really weird. I don't think it was this game, though.
Yeah.
Talk.
I like the style of it, but yeah. When it comes to games, I don't want to say I'm cheap because I'm not cheap, but I'm frugal.
I just don't like grinding in any game ever. And at the point, I've mentioned it before, the point at which you make me grind, I uninstall.
Well, when I say grind, I mean you got to attack the same part of that ship a bunch of times. Not grinding where you have to go, you know, plant crops, come back later, harvest them, plant crops. Yeah. Harvest them. Not like that kind of grinding.
Or play through the same levels to get the, you know, crystal that you need. Like there's the Marvel Contest of Champions game. It's one of those where you have to play through the same campaign like 5 times to get the crystal that you need. And if you don't collect all those crystals, you finally get to a point where you just can't win. So it's just that classic grind until you play. I don't understand the game metric. I've whined about it many times before. I'm not going to do it again. But just reading through the reviews, it looks like this game quickly turns into that.
I'm not that good to make it that far. I was going to probably say that.
And like late May, early June, there was an update that lots of people are upset about. I mean, when gamers take to you to the Play Store to complain this vociferously, something happened. Anyway, it's my job. I read the reviews.
Okay, I just remembered what game it was that does that. Now I'll bring that too. I didn't have it in my tank, but I got to add it to it now. It's a crap app.
All right, Dor, your turn.
Okay, next app I'm going to bring just because I don't know if people really know about this. I don't feel good, bad, or indifferent about this app. It just is what it is. I'll say that. Everybody wants competition. I at least like to believe that, Mark, now that I say it out loud. I hope everybody likes competition because we all win with competition. Amazon, eBay, Walmart. Those are the big online places in this country where you can buy things. Overseas, you got Alibaba, AliExpress, and a couple other big name sites. But Google is not one people think about, even though they've had Google shopping for years, years and years and years and years. Well, Google Express is some level of competition for that. That's what I'm going to say right now. You install it. It's an app. I did find it difficult while in the app to find a way to go to an external browser and look at that item. It's all encased in the app and you can search for select goods. It does take your location into consideration. So if you're in a more heavily populated area, I do believe you'll see more deals. I'll say that out loud, I believe. And it offers express shipping on all these items. And I'll say this, if you just want to check it out, download it, leave it installed, I believe, for a day or two, and it should prompt you in the notification area with a deal code you can put in on any purchase and save 30% up to, I think it was $100. It was a good amount of money, I'll say. So I encourage competition. I don't know if Google's a company to do it. I don't know if I want Google to be the company to do it, but at least it's competition to some of the well-known online shopping spaces.
Yeah, good bring. I mean, we probably have brought this before, maybe not, but I had it installed before and I hadn't thought about it. And I just ordered something off of eBay after doing a lot of research and I'm waiting for a really slow boat to bring the item now. I wish I would have had one more place to look, and I'm still going to look at this one too, because it was cheap enough. I would order a second one if I get it quicker. So we'll check it out.
Yeah, I believe they take location into consideration is the way I gathered it, because Google doesn't sell anything. Every link clearly says available here, available there. So they don't hide that fact. On Amazon, you know, whatever percentage of items you buy from Amazon, you're not actually buying from Amazon. You're buying from a third party using Amazon like eBay. This one, at least to me, is clear about where you're buying it from, which I kind of like that aspect a little bit.
Robot in the chat room says this is how he chops at Costco without having a Costco membership, which is a very good tip. Thank you.
Apparently, wow. Google has a Costco membership.
Well, that's actually good to know because I just bought a external USB hard drive, and one guy always tells me, go to Costco, go to Costco, go to Costco. I don't have a Costco membership. I'm not getting one. I have a BJ's Wholesale Club, and I don't remember seeing good deals on hard drives there. So I just then got told Western Digital was having a sale on refurb external USB 3 1 terabyte drives, $29. So I jumped on that and ordered it. I should be getting it beginning of next week.
Nice. So I was ordering breathalyzers. There's some way if you buy a cheap enough breathalyzer, you can measure the ketones in your blood instead of alcohol by the alkaline in your breath.
Robot says that Costco has a $5 fee if you don't link your membership. So everything you buy costs $5 more. But at Costco, that could offset.
Yeah, and if you have a coupon still taking 30% off, you still might be ahead of the game. I have heard of the breathalyzer ketone thing, Eric. I don't know how accurate they are, even when they're good or bad. And I don't know. I find it interesting, but I'm really lazy.
Yeah, I think it's a yes or no. You're in ketosis or you're not. It's not how right. well you are. I just, you know, for $8, I figured it's worth to know it. Because, you know, I did realize something. I hate to bring this up on the show again, but drinking beer, I can feel that just kills it.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Even ultralight beer. Michelob Ultra and the lowest carb beers I can find, I think it destroys the ketosis.
Oh, Yingling, there's no carbs in it at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's more than a couple beers with no carbs in it at all. Here's what I'll say, Eric. There is some validity behind the breath thing in my eyes because I've heard about literal dogs that have been trained to walk up to people and smell onset of diabetes. So there's something going on, I can believe, in the bloodstream, lungs, breath, that could be noticeable by something. I don't know.
We'll give it a try for $8. If not, it's a party favor, and we'll just pass it around and see who got the drunkest.
I'm so drunk, I can't remember whose turn it is. Eric, I think it's your turn.
Google Express.
All right, my turn then. I'm going to bring an AR app. This is another game. It's a game day or something. I haven't gotten too far into this, but I've already got far enough that it's too involved and going to take up too much of my time to really get into. But I think sharing the game's called The Lockdown. Sharing this with other people who are gamers, they might really enjoy this a lot. It starts out where you just need to have a table in front of you. You scan it with your phone, and a little box is augmented reality dropped onto your table or wherever your desk or whatever. From there, videos start popping up out of it, almost like the videos that shot out of R2-D2 in Star Wars. Videos, and you're trying to track down some computer hacker guy. He made some kind of little message to the world that this is going to happen, or whatever. But then he embedded one of the frames of the video is a secret code. So you find that code, and then it's actually a picture that's made out of ASCII. So you zoom in on the ASCII, and you find the numbers that are messed up, and then you decode the numbers to find out who he is and things like that. It's a really involved story-type VR game or AR game, but I don't have the time to put into a game like this. But it's really well done. It's one of the things that could be a movie, I guess, you know, if they wanted it to be.
Well, I'll say they're obviously confident in their ability because there's no video in the Play Store.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So to me, that says that they're confident in their app. They don't feel like they need a video kind of thing. I'll say it's interesting. So it's a augmented reality detective click adventure.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll have to show this to my son. He has been a fan of the 8-bit Lucas art studio type of point and click games. There's Dark Side Detective, I believe, on the Switch was one of them, where it's just click, ask a question, click, ask a question, click. Oh, now after asking this person a question, now I can go back and click on that and pick it up. It's a lot. And I'll say that time wise, I was shocked. One stage, even when he knew what to do 80% of the way through the stage, took him like 10 minutes of going all around doing this, then coming back doing that kind of thing. So this might be the kind of relentless attention hogging game that he might actually love.
And you know how I hate games that have to spell out the instructions to you right off the bat, and you got to sit through like a bunch of pages of that. This has none of that. It throws it out there in front of you, and it waits to see if you can figure it out yourself. If you wait a little too long, a little hint will come by, or she'll say something that says that kind of clues you into what you should may want to do next a little bit.
So what's the point of this app? Not for you, Eric, from the developer. It's a free app with no in-app purchases.
Yep.
What's the value for the developer?
I'm thinking this may be like the beginning of a series or something. You know, this is their test. They're throwing this out there to see how it goes. And, you know, maybe the Lockdown 2 comes next. You know, it's getting pretty good reviews. So if they can develop a following, they could probably build on this, maybe. That would be my guess, since it's all free.
It's obvious that lots of work went into this.
Oh, it's...
This is big production value.
Yeah. The camera work is really nice.
I'll say I'm a little bit confused. The developer has a weird name. ABN Amero Bank N period V period. You look at the description for the app. This is maybe one of the shortest descriptions in the market. I'm sure if you pull every single app off the store, grep the descriptions, count the characters, this would be in the like one percentile.
I don't even see a description. All I see is reviews.
It says, turn your room into a escape room. In this experience, you're an expert contracted by Interpol's cybercrime division to crack a seemingly unsolvable case. Use the AR objects around you, your holodesk, and your brain to prevent a world from financial meltdown. And that's it. Nothing else. And then you go down, scroll all the way down, you click on visit their website, and
it's a Dutch bank.
Yeah. It's a little weird, but I'll say. So, yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
ABN AMRO serves retail, private, and corporate banking clients with a focus on the Netherlands.
Maybe this is part of the app, like part of the game.
Like, like the Illuminati and Taco Bell. I'll tell you what, I was running this on the Pixel 2. It warms up your phone, so maybe it's doing something else. But no, it's taxing on your phone to play this game.
Okay.
Just love the game. Check it out. If you think you might like to spend some time in a choose-your-own-adventure-ish escape room game with your AR camera phone, this is for you. Check it out. Let us know why a bank is putting out a game like this for free.
If this website is game content, then I just got a lot more respect for the developers of this game, because this website looks and feels in every way like a bank website.
I know, that's why I don't know. I mean, I had to just click away because I wasn't sure. I can't tell.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
It's a mystery, much like the game itself.
Yep.
All right, Dor, top that.
I'm not. I will bring this app because once in a while we all should like to make fun of something. And I'm making fun of this app because this app is surprisingly awful, is what I'm going to say. Maybe it's a time thing. Maybe it's a time thing. I don't know. Maybe it needs time. Maybe it's an infant and it's not yet a toddler and it hasn't even gotten into school yet. So it has no way of understanding what it's doing. I don't know. It's bad. Okay. Google Lens from Google LLC, tools, E for everyone, completely free, no ads, no in-app purchases. You're supposed to be able to launch the app, point the camera at something, hit a button, and it tells you what it is. It is, okay, look. If everybody around the world is going to agree with this next statement, nearly everybody knows what a Rubik's Cube looks like. Okay? They've been everywhere. They've been on the space station. They've been on space shuttle flights. Everybody knows what a Rubik's Cube looks like. I pointed this thing at least a dozen things, and it did horrible on everything. And when I pointed it at Rubik's Cube, all it said was, a children's toy or something like that. A toy. This sucks. I pointed at a 3DS. It said electronic device. Is that the best you can give me, Google? Is that the best you can give me when I point it at a very well-known handheld computing device or a classic 1980s device that was probably even in Player One, okay? Ready Player One, because it's a Rubik's Cube. Everybody knows what they look like. And this was an official one. I even had the logo in the picture.
The door.
On the white side.
Door. I've had, this has been in the Pixel 2 in the camera app for a while, and they just pulled it out and brought it out separately. Maybe let me tell you where Google's at. This and I just did this just on the spot while you were talking. I took it out and took a picture of this.
What's this?
This.
What's this? Gotta tell the listeners.
This, to me, it's a stealth bomber model that sits on my desk. It's got a magnet in it. It's like one of those little birds that sits on a tiny little stick and bounces around like a hula dancer in your car. So it does this. This is what it is. It's this little thing that does this. You know?
It's on a perch.
Yeah. So I took a picture of that while you were talking about Rubik's Cubes, and it says Lockheed YF-12. It identified the make and model of a fighter jet, yet it doesn't want to do anything to do with consumer electronics or toys. This is only for military purposes.
Skynet.
Yeah. If you want to identify the type of fighter jet that just strafed your neighborhood, perfect.
I'll just ask Mark and everybody else, go ahead and install this app. And let us know, aaa@podnuts.com.
It's horrible. Up until this point, I really had no luck with it. I agree.
2.5 stars average reviews out of 5,000 reviews.
Yeah, and I mean, I laugh because, again, I heard multiple shows praising this app. You just pointed at it and it knows what it is. I'm like, did you even install the app?
When it was in Google Photos, I tried it and I wanted to use it. And I gave up because in the Photos app, you take the picture and then afterwards you hit the lens thing to identify anything in the picture, supposedly. And it was never accurate in any way.
Well, here to me is the $1 billion question. I was afraid it was me. I was afraid maybe because my phone was from some country on the other side of the planet. Maybe it thinks, I don't know. So I was hoping you guys would say I'm an idiot and it works great. But here to me is the $1 million baffling question. Google Goggles 6 years ago was more accurate than this.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That it should be the same thing.
Or better.
Well, 6 years. Better, yeah.
In computing terms, this thing should be able to take a picture of you from 100 feet away and say if you're in ketosis or not. I mean, 6 years is forever in computing terms. But no, this app sucks. It's worthless.
Yeah, I've had it on the Google Photos app for a while, too. And it's really good with text.
Yeah.
So, like, I have a picture of my leaf blower. Because I needed the model number, and I am old, and so I couldn't see it, so I took a picture of it so I could get the model number. And when I click the lens version on that, not only does it get that exactly right, but gives me links to that model of device, you know, for spare parts and that sort of stuff. But I pointed it at my dog, and it just said, brown dog. Literally what it said, brown dog. Thank you, Google. You got that right, but, I mean, how impressive is brown dog? So, I don't know. Like, I just took a picture of business card, and I use the Google Lens, and it created a contact. I can click add contact, and everything's right.
That's
phone number, fax number, website.
That's kind of cool, but we've already have apps for that. You know,
Yeah. OCR's existed for 20 plus years. So, I mean, it's cool that works. I'm going to leave the app installed, and I'm going to keep trying it like once a month.
I think your original thought was right. It's infancy. It's new. The AI hasn't had enough users to really develop its brain.
So the battery in my Wiimote died. It's a rechargeable battery that I've had since, you know, forever. And I wanted to buy a replacement battery. So I took a picture of it. I used the Google Lens button and it gave me just the text on it. I was hoping it would give me a link for it. But yeah, it is very hit and miss. But again, when I use the picture of my chainsaw, it tells me the exact model and make of my chainsaw. So it's just odd what it can do and what it can't do.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the most I use my camera on the average week, if there was a timer on my camera, the most I use it is when I get to work, I turn my camera on. I put the phone in selfie mode. I lay the phone down on my monitor base and I slide the phone up so I can see up behind the base and I can see the socket I need to plug the HDMI in for my mini computer. And then I look down at the screen of the phone, put my hand around back, see the plug, plug it up, turn the camera off. That's 80% of my phone usage during the week for a camera.
What an excellent hack. That's a life hack right there.
Yes.
Hey, otherwise, I don't even want a selfie cam on my phone. People are complaining about a notch. I just say, get rid of the whole camera. I don't want it, don't need it, never will find a use case for it that I have to have it. Just get rid of it. Save the money. Give me full screen edge to edge. And Vivo, the company that showed a prototype maybe 6 months ago, now, supposedly, the phone is coming out in, I believe, Southeast Asia, Indonesia area. The phone, the screen goes all the way to the top and all the way to the sides, and you press a button, and a little thing comes out of the top via a motor, and it's a selfie cam. So they have it to where you never have to see it. At least that's part of the way there.
All right. I see it is time to empty some tanks. So, Eric, okay. Please begin.
All right. My first tank emptying app is going to be the crap app that is killing you for time and taking your money the longer you play it. This is the game I couldn't remember a second ago. But this is some sellout type game for the couple who own Magnolia Construction Company on House Hunter or HGTV, and it's House Flip with Chip and Joe. At first, I thought that this was actually somebody just ripping off generic versions of their faces and playing the game. There's no personality to go with the pictures. But then it actually has their names and everything in the description. So I'm starting to think that maybe they did get bought out for this horrible game. Don't install this, and if anybody in your house wants to install it, don't let them. This game, you know, is a waste of time and money.
Chip and Joe and their show Fixer Upper has touched the heart of Southern women across this nation. And this is the kind of app that I could see all the women in my family, all three daughters and wife, spending hours and hours on this game. So just because it's not for you doesn't mean it's not for somebody.
Well, if they spend hours and hours, they'll be spending dollars and dollars because there's no way to get through this game for free. There's no, you do remodel a house and sell it, I guess. But if you don't want to wait 50 minutes for your court, I don't even know the name of it. If you don't want to wait 50 minutes for your countertop to finish building itself, you can easily buy it to be finished in 2 minutes for, you know, a couple bucks. Or your roof, if you don't want to wait 2 days for your roof to get done, you can easily pay $2 and your roof will be done today.
That's classic. In 1 minute. My kids play these like dragon games where you can hatch the game now for $1. Yeah. Hatch the dragon. Yep.
I'll just say this, Mark. If you say Chip and Joe, I mean, first off, are they the most annoying names ever? I mean, kids in school, I'm pretty sure in my day and age, literally, I'm sorry, got beat up with those names. I'm just saying. I did too. So at least they had company. But if anybody.
Oh, no. Joe, girl named Joe. Family ties, she's gonna kick your butt. There ain't no so you're afraid of Joe if it's a chick.
If anybody's heart is touched by Chip and Joe, I'll just use a Southern phrase then, Mark, and that is bless their heart.
They're cute though. They say
no,
funny things.
Not. The show is disgusting. Every time I go to the dentist office, this show is on, and every time the show is on, I'm reminded that my phone has an infrared remote on it.
Oh, you hacked
their... That show is so disgusting. I can't stand it because it's all for TV.
Yeah.
I mean, reality TV is not real. I don't know. I hope people who watch it and like the show know this ain't real. This is all for TV.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a cute show, though. It's not like you're not going to watch their show and become a carpenter.
Oh, everybody who watches that show with any repetition believes they can. Oh, that I can do that. Look at that. That is so cute. That's exactly how I would have done it, or whatever. I would have done it better. No, Eric, I've seen the people who like these shows, at least up here. We are south of Mason-Dixon line, technically. And wow, it gives them a false sense of, I know what I'm doing kind of thing. Because flipping a house, hard work, costs a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. Around here, you can't do it. The resale values just aren't high enough to make it worth it. You put $30,000 into a house that you paid $20,000 for, you're still going to get $30,000.
And they can't even use a real picture of them.
I like it when it's like the house hunters, and it's like, oh yeah, we're I'm a part-time painter, and my husband is a library computer consultant. And he helps people there. And our all-in budget is $500,000 for this home that we're looking for. I just thought, I don't understand how these people have these jobs and make that kind of money to afford these kind of prices. It's so funny.
If it's at all real, somebody died, left them a big stash of money, and they're just blowing it off.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, it could be.
I don't know. I can't. I'm every time I go to the dentist's office for my kids. Oh man. Oh, it's so painful.
Our chat room's pretty sure that they can make a killing at storage locker auctions, because that one's pretty real. I've been to storage locker auctions. I did buy a couple storage lockers, but it was a very specific case, and I didn't have to take the trash with the goods. I got to leave the trash there because the whole place is getting demolished.
Right. I'll just say the guy I know who's actually been on one of those shows, and I don't know him, but I've heard him speak outside the show, said, you have no idea. You have no idea how many hours of footage they had to record just to get that.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You know.
All right. I've got one more app in my tank here, and this is,
is it better?
Recommended to us from somebody in the Google Plus. And it's called Dingbats Between the Lines.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have checked this out. I had a math teacher who used to give these as extra credit, and basically it's some kind of a puzzle with words or numbers and things where, like, like the name of it. It says READ, and there's two lines above it and two lines below it. So it's like, I don't know what the name of those things are. A hidden, anyway, that's read between the lines, the word read. Idioms, that's what they are. So it's a puzzle game with a bunch of different idioms. If you like that kind of brain teaser, it's probably good for your, you know, to exercise your brain a little bit that way. They're hard. There's some hard ones.
Yeah. WOOLF. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Wool. Yeah.
Man. See, my only, Eric, you're bringing up traumatic events from my youth is what I'm going to say. In my area, my neck of the woods, on Channel 45, WBFF, Baltimore, Maryland television station, we had Captain Chesapeake on when I came home from school, and he was on from like 1 to 4 or whatever. And at the very end of the show, he would have brain teasers. I swear, in my whole youth, I think I got one of them right. I suck at these so bad that I can't, because I will suck so bad at this, it will just send me into a spiral depression kind of thing. I can't do the game.
Honestly, I didn't like the teacher that much, but he was okay. Hey, this was my favorite part of his class.
I just know I sucked at him so bad. I don't know why.
And it wasn't him. It was the math. I don't like math, man.
Yeah. See, I'm pretty good at these sort of things, like the hide your head in the sand and the dog days, looking at the second screenshot, the fortune teller. I enjoy these sort of things because it's the way my brain thinks.
What's the Pacific with the drop day?
Oh, I got that one before too, because it's a drop in the ocean.
Nice.
See, nope, not no.
Yeah,
I can't.
You said drop A, that. And it's A.
I know, but I can't do these, man.
All right, that's my tank door.
There's a fork in the road. You know that one there. There's some of these are too small for me to read. Pie in the sky. Yeah, this sounds like fun to me. Looks like fun to me.
The chat room says, Dingbats Between the Line, maybe Chip and Joe.
Okay, Dor, your tank, my friend.
Well, I really don't have a lot, I will say, even though it's been off a week. Some of these apps I just don't want to bring. This one at least intrigued me. I don't foresee myself needing this app, maybe ever. But it's interesting that the app is out there. And if you yourself are I can't even say maker. Because you really have to be, I believe, in the enterprise space in order to take advantage of this. You need to be an enterprise maker. You need to do research and development, I believe, for a company in order to need this app. I don't know. It's called Android Things Toolkit, Google LLC, Tools E for Everyone, 230 4 reviews, 4.6 average reviews, updated May 16, 13 megs, 50,000 plus installs, current version 2.0. blah, 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 blah. Long numbers. 4.4 Android are up. This is supposed to be basically a software development interface for Android Things boards. Every Android Thing board that I saw that they were going to make were way more money than something that than what people are used to. Now, this might be able to be ran against a Raspberry Pi. I don't think it is yet. If you want to do, and if you're interested in Android Things development, then I say you more than likely are going to need this app in order to do some kind of thorough testing, playing kind of thing.
It's got to be good. It doesn't have a video.
I guess.
You know, Google doesn't make bad apps, so.
Yeah, they always work perfectly right when they come out.
Something like that.
This one gets good reviews, though. So the people who are into it like it.
Well, that's a plus, I guess. Here's what I'm going to bring last. Google Drive, if I understand correctly, if you're a Google Drive subscriber, it's going to change. The only question is, when's it going to change? And when's it going to change for you? Because Google staggers everything out, and either apps people will take 3 years to get it, or app users will get it first, then nobody else will get it for 3 years. But Google Drive is changing, if I'm reading all this stuff right, to Google One. It's going to be your interface into your Google Drive content. So you can download the app, say that you're interested, put your email in, and when it becomes available, you'll be told about it. I don't know if it's going to completely replace Google Drive's interface, but I know it's at least going to be in addition to when you have a pay account.
So when you pull this up, you can't install it right now?
I can.
Oh, okay.
But as soon as I do, it says, click the button to be notified when we go live. Click the button, put in your email address. Thank you.
Now, on this page, does it show my subscriptions right below it? Do you have a... Because on mine, it says, you are currently subscribed for a $19.99 per year. Your next payment's due on November 10th.
Honestly, the last time I launched it, no. And right now, my phone's in AirPlay mode with an audio file.
No, I mean, just in the desktop is what it's, where it's, tell, it's telling me. I don't have it installed, but it's telling me that I'm subscribed to a 100 gig plan.
No, I didn't know you could even go to the website.
Well, no, this is just on your link. It says it right in the Google Play Store link is what it says to me. Now, I can click Manage Subscriptions and go change it, I guess.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to install it and see what I can do then. It looks like I'm already subscribed. So I was paying for Google Drive before. Cool.
Sorry, I was doing Dingbats. I have nothing to say.
Yeah. I really don't have anything else worth bringing to this show is what I'm going to say. Yeah. A couple really crap. I'm just going to vent real quick. I have a voicemail too. I got to play. I can't forget. I was looking for an app because here's the logic, Mark. I know how to do this stuff. I don't want to do this stuff. Simple web page. I hit the web page. First thing it does is check what time it is. When it checks out what time it is, it will then do a query against a back-end database for things that happened within a time span previous days in order of how popular they are, display them so I could enter in my diet, what I'm eating. A simple page that does that and allows me to click choices and add one item with 3 stats, because all I care about is 3 stats. Sugars, carbs, well, I should care about sugars, carbs, protein, and fat, saturated fat. I don't have the time to create that interface, even though I know it's not hard. So I downloaded apps trying to find one that would do that. Carb Manager sucks. I'm not logging in using any social media thing, so I basically can't use the app. The app is stupid. I downloaded another one called Nom. N-O-O-M. I'm going to have these links here soon, even though I don't want to promote them because they suck. Nom was a good-looking app, functionally very good. Bad, it only counts calories. I could not find a way to find anything else about my diet, what I ate, except for calories. And I'm going to say this once again, one of the most useless things for someone in my position to track is calories. Calories are not a killer. So I can't use the app. And I did just download another new one, haven't had a chance to try it yet. I'm going to try it this week. All I want is a simple app that can, when that I can add some basic things to, track my carbs, track my sugars, track my fats, track my proteins.
I'm glad I'm glad you're on this, because I was starting to go down this path. And yeah, I got frustrated quickly. Thank you for taking this on. And please let me know how it goes when you find the thing to do it.
Well, honestly, worst case scenario, I'm just going to make it, because all it is two or three web pages. A web page that when I click add, I can just have a text box and three other text boxes for the numbers I need, or four. Just store that into a database, and then just the ability to, like, you know, agile development, just list and click add.
Can't you do like a Google Next Sheets stage, or something?
Well, the bad thing about Google Sheets is you then have to like type stuff in, and there is no indexing search interactive into it. Because my logic is there are databases I've already found I can download, put on a server that will have nutrition information for all kinds of general things. Gotcha. A cup of green beans, buffalo wild wings, medium wings. I mean, all kinds of stuff in this pre-filled database. So I could use that as a initial index search, and on a spreadsheet, I don't see an easy way to do
then
that.
Then use Google Lens to just take pictures of whatever you're going to eat, and then interface. Yeah, that's all a great idea.
Well, you won't like it because you've already said you're not going to log in and create an account. But the app I've been using for about 5 years for this is called Lose It, and I can track my foods. I can take a picture of a UPC code of something I'm eating, and it tracks everything I eat.
Well, I don't mind if they allow me to create an account using email password.
Yes.
But there are many apps out there now. I launch them and they insist Google Plus, Facebook, or Twitter. And that's the only way you can create an account. I'm not doing that.
No. It's called Lose It, L-O-S-E space I-T. And yeah, you can create your own account with
them.
You've
never brought this to the show, Mark.
Really? Yeah. I guess I just didn't think anybody cared.
You mean Lose It dash calorie counter?
Yep, that's the one. They try to sell you on upgrades. There's ads all over the place. It's super annoying, but it does the job, and it does it really well. I can do my own recipes, so I put in, you know, a cup of that, 3/4 pound of that, a tablespoon of that, and it makes 10 servings, and then I can just say I ate 2 servings, and it tells me what that is. And, you know, it's got a huge database. I mean, like, I went to a restaurant the other day. I forgot what it was, but it was not a big place. It wasn't a national chain, and I typed in the name of the restaurant and the dish I ate, and it came up with nutritional information. And I don't know how accurate it is, but it passes the sniff test. It looks right.
Well, and that's one thing I've realized with just using what I've used for such a limited time. These are not for scientific purposes, is the way I'll put it. There is always going to be a measure of inaccuracy involved.
Right.
Because its definition of like what a serving of X is, you might have a little bit more or a little bit less. So it's not going to be, I had this, I had that. It's going to be, I had about that, I had about this.
Yeah. But I've never seen a UPC code it couldn't read. So you just hit the button, scan with your camera the UPC, and it tells you all the nutritional information.
The chat room says people really need to start sending in emails because Mark's brought 2 apps now today.
I'm sorry. I'm falling down on my job. I'm actually bringing apps. I apologize.
Well, I'm going to install this, Mark. Give it.
Yeah, I've already got it installed. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I don't. And you can sync it with your Fitbit, and it'll do track your. Well, not Fitbit. Actually, they took that away. But you can sync it with Google Fit, so it'll give you credit, you know, calories for the steps you've taken and stuff.
Oh no, you don't even need that on any app I've ever seen. I don't have Google Fit installed. Will not have Google Fit installed. My phone tracks my steps, and from what I can.
Yeah, but you got to have some app to link with it, right? So. It used to do when I first started using it, it would work with my Fitbit, but now that's a premium feature. It's too expensive too. It's like $3 a month for the premium. It's too much.
Right. And I'll say pedometers, what I'm looking for in pedometer is not accuracy. Again, I'll say, because none of them are going to be perfectly accurate. I'm looking for consistency. And when I've walked what I've walked at work, I always get about the same number. I'm very close. When I look at what I did there, and you know, every time I look, my phone gives me about the same number every time. So I'm okay with that level of accuracy on the pedometer. And it isn't like I actually even really try to walk most of the time. It's just sometimes I need to vent to myself in private. So I just walk around the building.
And so you build yourself a profile. So you give it your height, your weight, your age, and then your goal, right? So I want to lose weight fast. I want to lose weight slow. I want to gain weight fast if you're, you know, training for that sort of thing. And it'll tell you, you know, these are your calories in, and then gives you a goal for the day. And as you add to it, it shows you a little bar there. When you get to the red, you have to stop eating. But if you go over, it tells you. And so, like, I can look at it goes back, like I said, about 5 years now, and I can look at I've tracked religiously everything I've put in my mouth for the last 5 years. If I stop by my coworker's desk and eat 3 peanut M&Ms, I write that in the app. And so, yeah, I mean, I can see huge longitudinal tracks of my own data using this app.
That's part of it too. You got to be disciplined to actually use it.
Yeah, that's how I started. Before I started, I'm sorry, I'm going way off the rails on an Android podcast, but I like most really fat people, and I was 500 plus when I first started. I had completely lost sight of what normal eating was. So for the first year, I didn't even try to lose weight. I just tracked, and I needed to see, holy crap, I'm eating 6,000 calories a day. I didn't know that, you know, no wonder. And so, you know, knowledge is power.
Well, this is a landmark historic show. Mark brought 2 apps. Our door ran out before he even had a tank. Really? Man, I don't even know. How many apps we brought. We brought a lot, I thought, too. And we talked about, I don't even remember what we talked about. It's been good stuff.
12 apps tonight, more than usual.
Yeah. And I will say there is I don't know what word, so I always use the word cognitive bias when I'm not sure. There is a cognitive reaction that when you write it down and you then have the chance to review it, there's going to be things that you literally mentally just didn't even record because it was just in passing, like the random M&Ms kind of thing. So when you look at this stuff, it really does like settle in. Oh, that's actually what happened today. So I'm going to give it a go. I will say part of me wants this, and you'll never hear me say anything like this again, Mark. I would almost like at the end of the day, I click finish day, and it will basically take what I had in a format I want, which is just title of food, sugars, carbs, proteins, fats, next line, item description, in just plain text, and then let me tweet it or something. Somehow I can just document it instead of just being in the app, which it wouldn't shock me if this app can do, because this app sounds like it can do more than what I've witnessed, is what I'll say.
Yeah, I can't really show you on the camera. There's my day and my week. So those are my stats. And there's no share button, but I could screen capture that and tweet it.
You can screen capture it, then use Google Lens to take the text.
Yeah. So one other thing I was going to say that was a cool feature and I've forgotten. It remembers your meals. So if you go to Buffalo Wild Wings a lot, you could just go to meals and say, the thing I ate last Thursday, do that again.
Yeah. Monster Ultra Zero.
That would be again. Nice.
Because most of us eat the same 50 things all the time.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I found just when I stopped and recognized what I was eating. I eat the same dinner sometimes 2-3 times a week just because I know how to make it. It's convenient. It tastes good. I'll do it again. All right. You want me to play the voice nano?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay. This one's from Todd Evans, and here we go.
Hey, guys. Todd Evans here, just calling you from the road, listening to episode 509, and I just had to let Eric know that when I was still living in California, all of us talk about Menards, it's like underwhelming. Yeah, or whatever. Well, since I moved to Ohio, I've been to Menards. I can say they have taken. I have spent a lot of my money there. It's an awesome store. Anyway, Menards is cool. I get your fascination, Eric. I have it. Also wanted to say, Dora, I'm going to say constructive criticism. Listening to the podcast in a truck, you do have some outside noises going on, but just wondering about volume level. What I tend to find is Mark is generally overpowering sound-wise. I don't know if it's maybe compression or what, but Eric comes in a little underwhelming. I think some of it is just a speaking manner, but the volume levels seem to be inconsistent, and I'm kind of craning my neck at times trying to get my head closer to the speaker. But anyway, just I don't know if you notice anything like that on your end, but you always do a good job. I enjoy the show very much, and I am excited that it seems like a lot more people are participating in the Patreon. So anyway, keep up the good work, guys. Take care.
I would ask him, am I consistently inconsistent?
I think I've listened to the show at a regular speed, and it does sound compressed in a way where it sounds like it's trying to be sped up. I don't know what it is, and I don't know if it was just my player, but I did recognize that. I'm not sure. I don't know what that could have been, but maybe we could lay back on compression a little bit. I don't know. I do want to tell Todd that I'm a Menards fan, but I don't have a choice. There's no Lowe's or Home Depot here. All I have is Menards. But yeah, like him, I do spend a lot of money there. I'm there at least twice a week, probably.
Well, here's the question I have for Mark, because I believe Mark is more educated than I when it comes to audio. First off, I have ears of lead. So any advice anybody can give me on improving audio quality, or if they hear something that they think is bad, you got to let me know, because I have ears of lead. Here's my question, Mark. The bounce meter on audio programs. Here's the way I think I'm led to believe how it works. Hypothetically, you take an EQ and you spread it out a foot wide. Okay, you have all the different channels, all the different frequencies, and it's a wave of this is high, this is low, this is high, this is low, this is high. You have what I believe is a broad range of EQ where your voice lays. I have shorter, and I think Eric has shortest. Here's my question. The bounce meter I'm looking at on my screen is one line thick. EQ, hypothetically, you can break down whatever, but let's just say 10 different channels. Different frequencies. I believe the bounce meter I'm looking at when it's only one is if I were to take that EQ and rotate it 90 degrees so I only see the edge, so I only see the peak of the peaks hitting. So it doesn't matter if my EQ, when I play mine, I get to one level, you get to that level, Eric gets to that level. That doesn't mean they're going to come across equally loud. Does that make sense?
A little. It has something to do, less to do with physics and more to do with the way humans hear. I run a hardware compressor. I think you probably do too on your rig, that compresses the dynamic range of my signal pretty dramatically so that I can yell at you or I can whisper at you. And it sounds basically the same volume, no matter what. That's the compressor limiter doing its job. So what you get is a highly compressed file from me. You get a less so compressed file from you guys, and then you compress it again as one of the last things you do. And so the compressing that you're doing, it's kind of like zipping a zip file. It can't really compress my file anymore, so I stand out more. So probably what you need to do is compress you two individually, then throw me in post-compression.
I honestly, there are weeks I don't compress yours at all, because when I open it up, it just looks too damn good
right
in the waveform. I will say one out of five shows or so, it's typically when I think you have problems with your master recording and you get the backup, maybe,
right,
that it looks different. But I know I compress me and I compress Eric to best my ability, in air quotes.
And then once the three tracks are thrown together, throw another layer of compression over the top of it, and that should level that out.
Well, and that's what there are weeks when I literally look at the ending waveform and I see the entire waveform go up and down. That's when I know somebody's level isn't close.
Right.
It's way off. That's how bad my ears are. I have to see it before I can hear the change. So I will try, and Todd, I'll say this, you're not the first person to say, I can't hear Eric's audio. And then when I can hear Eric's audio, like once a show, it's loud. And it's not Eric, it's me. I am the editor. It is my fault. It's not Eric's fault. I need to be better at editing audio. It isn't the tools. You know, I'm not going to blame the tools I have. The tools I have are at least semi-professional grade. So it's a me thing. I will, in particular this show, try to do better. But I will ask you, Todd, am I consistently inconsistent? Have there been weeks where you thought, I can hear Eric just fine? Or is it pretty much in the life of the show, it's like complete hit and miss?
You use Audacity?
I use Audacity to record my audio, but that's it.
That's not your final mix.
No, okay. No. I use Q Tractor. Then when I'm done with Q Tractor, I punch it through a lame in a coder. I do use Audacity at the end to truncate silence, but it's the same format to the same format.
I run my whole editing process through Audacity. So I could give you my settings, but it wouldn't help.
I can't. It would take entirely too long. Audacity on this rig would take 2 hours just to push the file out.
I hate to do any work for a show, but maybe I'll take a stab at it too. If you, I'll pull in the files and just see what I can do with it too. I don't know. I used to video edit. Audio editing, it's got to be similar, right?
Sure. All right, that was a little bonus content at the end of the show.
The chat room says hashtag how the sausage is made.
If you're interested in this sort of stuff, it's been dead for a while, but I did, I think, 18 episodes of a show called Art of Podcasting. It was Steve Cherubino and James Professor Messer and myself, and we talked about all this sort of stuff, and it's fascinating. It's evergreen content. You know, some of the links are no good, but the processes we talk through and the techniques are still valid. I recommend you check that out, elementopi.com. It's called The Art of Podcasting. It's some work I'm really proud of.
Very cool. I remember listening to that.
Yeah, and then the other guys just left me.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, it happens.
Yeah, and it isn't that I'm trying to make excuses. My eyes are bad. I've been wearing glasses since I'm 6 months old. I don't think my ears are much better.
I don't mean to point out the obvious, but those sound a lot like excuses.
I know. I'm sorry, Mark. What did you say? I couldn't hear you.
So let me read through the list of apps. So we had Be My Eyes - Helping the Blind by Be My Eyes. I'm Ping Pong King by Orange Nose Studio. Clean Share by Catching Now. Don't use that one. Hawk, Force of an Arcade Shooter, Shoot 'em Up by MyCom BV. Google Express, Shopping Done Fast by Google LLC. The Lockdown by ABN AMRO Bank NV. Google Lens, again, by Google LLC. House Flip with Chip and Joe, unreleased, by Funguy, F-U-N-G-I. Dingbats Between the Lines by Romain Leboeuf. Android Things Toolkit, again, by Google LLC. Google One, again, by Google LLC. And Lose It-Calorie Counter by FitNow, Inc. 12 apps and roughly a six-hour show. I hope you enjoyed it. This is what happens when we miss a couple of weeks. Eric, say something.
Something, Mark. I'd like to thank Todd for the voicemail. It's been a long time. I really appreciate that. And the constructive criticism and the love of Menards. So he probably has a free Menards hat by now, I'd imagine. If you want to leave us a voicemail, it's 7076-PODNUT. And also come join us on Thursday nights in the chat room at podnuts.com/live. And thanks for listening, and tell your friends about the show.
I just want to say one thing. The type of feedback that we just got, that's the way to leave feedback. You show that you're invested in the show, you show that you care about it, and then you give some feedback that is maybe not complimentary, but we understand that it comes from a place of wanting to help. That is the best kind of feedback to get, because not only did you point out something that could be better, but you let us know that you're actually part of the community. The drive-by, you suck! Comments, those don't help anybody. What you just did there, guy whose name I can't remember because I didn't write it down, is very helpful, and we appreciate that. And I know I can speak for Dora when I say he is open to all such criticism, because he wants to be the best at what he does. And you telling him will have impact, and he will make an effort to do better because of that. So thank you for that feedback.
And honestly, it helps when it isn't your first time contacting somebody. If the first time you contact somebody is to criticize them blatantly, at least make an attempt to first say, hi, I listen to your podcast. And then next week, hi, I listen to your podcast. Maybe you should fix this. I don't know. Call me crazy.
All right. And another thing that you could do is go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and throw money at Dor. If you throw money at Dor and give feedback, well, then he has to listen to you because you're paying him to listen. So go do that. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. Dor, any last words before you say goodnight?
The only constant is change. Tick-tock, tick-tock. I'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, everybody. That's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
Hi, this is Matt from the MRP Tech Podcast. I would like to invite you all to take a listen to my show, the MRP Tech Podcast, on the PodNuts Network. The theme for my show is everyday tech for everyday people. We talk about Windows, Mac, Linux, iOS, Android, Chrome OS, and anything else technology related. You can find us on iTunes, and you can find us by searching in any podcatcher. We hope you take a listen and let us know what you think.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.